Zimbabweans have always expressed divergent views over the indigenization program since its launch 2 years ago. Some condemn it as a program well-crafted for top ZANU-PF officials, while others believe that it is meant to transfer wealth from foreign-owned companies to poor Zimbabweans. Opponents of the Black Empowerment Scheme say the program is ill-timed as Zimbabwe attempts to recover from a decade of economic decline. Mthokozi Mkhwananzi of Bulawayo says not much will be derived from the Black Economic Empowerment Program, as the money being given to individuals is very likely to start a business or recapitalize an existing business entity.
I view it as a pie in the sky. The money is dangled like a carrot. Everyone is trying to access it. But first of all, it is very difficult to access it. And to those that access it, the money is just not enough to start a meaningful project. Those that I know that have been fortunate or unfortunate enough to get the money have been able to start very small projects that do not give them the profits that they would have wanted.
Mkhwananzi adds that funds cannot even boost projects linked to the country's agrarian reforms of 2000.
For instance, when one wants to start maybe a farming project, you find that a drip kit that one can use in a hectare is something like $2,000, $2,500. Already half of the amount is already taken by the drip kit. There are chemicals, there is seed, there is soil test and things like that. At the end of the day, $5,000 is not enough.
But ZANU-PF activist Maurice Ngwenya argues that Zimbabweans have an equal opportunity of accessing the money.
Some of them are benefiting from the loans that are going on. They access loans from the banks to start their own project. They suggest whatever project they want and they get the loans according to the project proposals they have made. Those loans are processed by the banks, and the banks are the ones that approve or disapprove, not anyone else, because it's on merit.
Terence Mubaiwa of Harare disagrees, saying the indigenization program is for ZANU-PF supporters.
Yes, there are people who are benefiting from the indigenization program, but it is not the people that are intended to benefit from this thing that are benefiting from it. We are seeing a situation whereby ZANU-PF is entrenching its patronage system through the indigenization process.
And Bulawayo resident Ambrose Sibindi believes that collapsing city companies can be rescued through the injection of capital sourced from the indigenization program if it is properly implemented.
Corrupt individuals want to grab everything. And as such, the poor are supposed to benefit from people who are not benefiting. And those who are taking over those companies, they end up messing up and enriching themselves. But we are saying, if this program was to be successful, let locals be given the chance to take over companies and run them in a manner that will develop their own areas. So we are saying it's a good program, but the way it is done, we're condemning it.
According to Roderick Fayayo, the director of Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association, few, if any, city residents are currently benefiting from the program. He says that the program should be revised in order to benefit most Zimbabweans.
To us, this is a simple method of legalizing looting, a process whereby the people who have destroyed this country since 1980 have continued to loot and loot and loot and loot and loot, and they continue to look for new ways of looting.
Matson Hlalo, former Affirmative Action Group president, says the program is being wrongly implemented.
A lot of these things should have been out in the open as to who has benefited at this particular place and what then is expected of them, you know, to have some sort of downstream empowerment strategies, which we see other countries do, that once you empower, you also have to do the same empowerment, you know, cascade down to smaller players in our economy.
It still remains to be seen whether the indigenization program will benefit Zimbabweans as the country prepares for a constitutional referendum and general election. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Kip Stube.